The truth of NASA's occult origins has been discreetly hidden from public awareness. NASA's origins have been linked to perhaps the most wicked of all occult practitioners in modern history, Satanist Aleister Crowley. The highest echelons of NASA's administration have been dominated
Mike,
by...
Mike.
What?
What is this? What are we doing?
Paul? It's Quick Takes.
Quick Takes!
Hi, Paul.
Oh, hello there.
Hi. Sorry about everything that's about to happen for Quick Takes.
I'm really happy to be on Quick Takes. I'm glad that you chose me as your guest. But if I'm being honest with you, I'm a little confused.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's just going to get more and more confusing as we go through. You specifically said, let's get weird with the off-season content, right?
Oh, I did say that.
Yeah, you did say that. So I dug up a documentary, which is normally not standard procedure as it is, about the occult history of NASA.
Okay.
So
so this is my quick take, so I don't know how things have been working. You've done one before.
Yeah.
Normally before an episode of B-Movie Mania, we all have seen the movie. I haven't seen anything. I have no idea what's going on here.
Yeah, I haven't either. So this is going to get wild. So why don't we do a quick take of how about your quick take is how you feel about what we're about to do?
Oh, boy.
That's a pretty good quick take.
how about you?
I think mine's like, beep, boop, beep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, seems right.
Because we're going to watch this right now.
We're literally sitting in our studios right now, uncomfortable as all get out, especially Paul.
I'm in my underwear, so I'm good.
I might strip down during this, because we have an hour and 24 minutes of fucking Aeon of Horus, the occult history of NASA. It's from UFO TV, so I'm sure it's on their website if you want to give them the traffic. I just love weird ideas, Paul, especially the insanest of them.
Hey, I'm into it. I'm happy to be doing this right now.
Yeah, if I remember right, you actually have a history of liking to watch the ghost, low-quality ghost documentaries and stuff on Hulu or something, don't you?
Right.
You know, I think Paul's in the same mind as me of loving just how the fuck can you I don't even have words. Fuck this. Let's just do it.
Let's do it.
The truth of NASA's deeply dark occult origins was discreetly hidden from public awareness. Origins linked perhaps to the most wicked of occult practitioners in modern history. None other than self-proclaimed Satanist, Aleister Crowley himself.
Paul, we're back.
Oh, boy. I was right with my quick take. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and, whatever the hell I had said, I think also was accurate.
It was.
Fuck. I guess maybe we should start with talking real quick about the presentation of this.
Yeah.
This is something that quote unquote starred a man named Jim Nichols.
So he was the guy doing the narration?
I assume, because it said the credits at the end said starring Jim Nichols, directed by Jim Nichols.
Right, right.
There's not really any video clips. There's some silent video clips. But for the most, it's a lot of Ken Burns style. Here's a shitty quality of a picture. I think this was made in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I bet you it's 2000s. I didn't look it up.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty recent. I think you're thinking that because he recorded his narration on a microphone from 1993.
Oh, like a desktop microphone?
Yeah, yeah.
Came with his Apple Macintosh Performa 638 CD.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I liked how he obviously, I think he did a lot of like long takes with his reading because you could hear him just breathing a lot.
Crowley's main goal of practicing Western magic was to advance humanity by contact with higher intelligence, either by calling them down or by traveling to their planet. Crowley believed contact with these higher intelligences was attainable by becoming one with them, that is, by metamorphing into man-gods, or supermen. This goal was attainable through the ancient systems of Hebrew and Babylonian Kabbalah and other forms of metaphysical science.
But I will get, let me just real quick give credit where credit is due here. As weird and fucking crazy as this was, this guy managed to keep my attention the entire time.
Oh, absolutely. 100% agree. I absolutely agree. Like, you know, I'm being a little nitpicky. I over-exaggerated the breathing. You could hear it. But I also think that he did do these long takes probably, which in my mind also is, I don't know, I couldn't read well for that long. I can't speak well for that long, let alone read a script that I've written out about my diatribe on a conspiracy theory involving the occult and NASA.
Yeah, I mean, there's this thing jumps all over the place so much that you're just like, wait, what? Like, whoa, hold on, slow down. I mean, it's like I was glued to it the entire time.
Yeah, it goes around. So maybe the best way to really get into this is, first, hold on, let me open a beer.
Yes.
I think that's vital.
Very important. I have a Henry's Hard Soda that I'm drinking right now.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah.
How is it?
It tastes like college, so... You know, got right. That whole thing going on.
Nice. I got some fancy Ohio beer. I don't know what are some of your favorite parts. Maybe we can't go through this like a movie.
No, we absolutely have to hit on sort of the bullet points of this. So I have a few things written down if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
Well, as you said in the description, a lot of this revolves around Aleister Crowley, who was this guy in the sort of early 1900s who was into a lot of weird stuff like something called sex magic, right? and something called the law of thelema.
Aleister Crowley was an English occultist, ceremonial magician, poet, painter, novelist, and mountaineer. He was responsible for founding the religion and philosophy of sexual magic, thelema, in which role he identified himself as the prophet entrusted with guiding humanity into the Aeon of Horus in the early 20th century.
It's a thing. It's
I
a
know,
real thing, Mike.
I can't get over sex magic. Sex magic is my favorite part, easily.
It's great. And so he was the mentor of this guy named Jim Parsons, who apparently founded the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, which was sort of like the initial sort of foundation of what would eventually become NASA, if I have that correct.
Yes, I believe you're correct. I think NASA was a grouping of a handful of agencies, I believe,
right.
Whenever that happened. So that was one of the main ones for all the research and shit.
Right, exactly. So apparently Parsons was really into this sex magic as well.
I'm never not going to laugh at sex magic.
and Aleister Crowley and him were doing all this weird shit, right? And yeah. I swear to you, Mike, I have this written down in my notes right here because the narrator is talking about all this weird stuff that he's doing and how everything is sort of like connected to extraterrestrials and like portals to other dimensions and everything, right? And yeah. Underneath Aleister Crowley, I have written down he's just an earlier version of L. Ron Hubbard.
Oh,
two
no.
minutes later,
wow.
L. Ron Hubbard shows up hanging out with Jim Parsons in this documentary.
By 1945, Jack Parsons was high priest of Crowley's Agape Lodge in Pasadena, where he was joined by L. Ron Hubbard, later founder of Scientology. Impressed by Hubbard's exuberance and energy, Jack wrote in a letter to Crowley, "I deduce that he was in direct touch with some higher intelligence. He is the most thelemic person I have ever met, and is in complete accord with our principles."
Well, okay, wait. Before we get to this L. Ron Hubbard, I think we just follow the sex magic thread for a while. Because,
sure.
I mean, the sex magic, they mention it, and you think, did they just say sex magic? No, they did. They just said it again. And then they mentioned, so Crowley's honeymoon that they went to Egypt and then got inside of the Great Pyramid and did a sex magic ritual? Is that right?
Yeah, him and his wife were there and his wife like freaked out inside a museum or something.
Yeah, she like, they did a sex magic ritual. She claims that an Egyptian god was talking to her. And so they went to a museum and she found case number 666.
And although Rose had never visited the museum before, she rushed through the rooms filled with ancient artifacts until suddenly she stopped dead before case number 666. "There he is," she insisted. Within the case was the image of the god she claimed to have seen in her vision, the god Horus.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful theory.
Yeah, but the problem, I mean, I don't want to jump to conclusions here either, but the problem with this entire documentary, there's no, like, sources given. There's no, you know, we're referencing this or this is a quote from this particular person. It's just all, like, hearsay stuff.
Yeah, it's all just someone else in some sort of crackpot book wrote it down, probably, or on a YouTube video that someone else saw and then is just reciting that.
Exactly.
Well, real quick, Paul, to get you to your L. Ron Hubbard,
I could not believe when he, like, I'm like, this guy's just like L. Ron Hubbard, just an earlier version.
God.
And then they start hanging out with L. Ron Hubbard. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? It's so dense, too. This thing is so dense. There's, like, so much to get to.
Okay, well, I want to set you up for actually maybe my favorite part, actually. Maybe sexual magic isn't my favorite, but let me tee you up for this.
Yeah.
Paul, L. Ron and Parsons.
Yes.
They got together and then they went to New York City, the Big Apple, and they started doing something called the Babylonian Working. And that is where Hubbard and Parsons were using sexual magic to make something. For 5 million points, Paul, what were L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons trying to make with sex magic?
What is a moon child?
Together, Parsons and Hubbard hatched a sordid sex magic scheme called Babylon Working to bring forth the Antichrist and Apocalypse.
I mean, but what is that? What does that mean exactly?
I believe they said a moonchild is a portal for demon seed.
A moonchild is a human vehicle for a demon seed, not unlike Rosemary's baby. From the diaries of the participants, it was also clear that they were not as adept as Crowley in the closings of portals. What their amateur efforts may have accomplished was the drastic enlargement and ripping of an existing magical portal and the subsequent non-closure of it.
Right, exactly. So, if you'll indulge me for a moment, I have a theory about this.
All right, I'm listening.
Okay, so apparently Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard did this ritual in, I want to say 1946 is what the documentary said, okay?
Sounds good.
In 1946, what they were trying to do is, you know, open this portal and get this moon child, this demon seed, to sort of like come into, what are we doing right now? To come into our dimension to sort of like do their bidding, I guess? That happens in 1946. The following year in 1947 is, of course, when everything UFO-related really takes off with Roswell and different sightings, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so it seems to me like if they were successful in making contact with Greys in 1946, and then the aliens showed up, they arrived in 1947 with the moon child. That would mean that the moon child, right, was born in 46 and showed up in 47.
Yeah.
Who was born in 1946?
1946. Maybe you mean specifically Charles Manson.
No, that's a good guess.
Damn, I don't know when he was born. Who was born?
Would you believe Donald J. Trump was born in 1946?
Fuck you, was he?
Yes. Is Donald Trump The Moon Child.
Paul, we are literally solving history right now.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
Holy shit!
Perhaps the rift they created was not possible to close. In any event, the modern UFO era began exactly a year and a half later, on June 24, 1947, with Kenneth Arnold's sighting over the Cascade Mountains in Washington State, as well as the UFO crash at Roswell, New Mexico.
I mean, if that's what they were trying to do, they were trying to break through to this other portal so that they could send the Antichrist, essentially, to come into this realm and do their bidding and take over. It seems to me like they're, right now anyway, they're succeeding.
Shit, Paul!
We're getting deep into this, folks.
Fuck. I don't even know where to go from that. That's insane.
Well, you know, I'm glad that we're figuring this out and we can finally get to the bottom of what's been going on in this damn world lately. This actually makes a lot of sense now.
This is coming. You say this. So Jack Parsons, a.k.a. the high priest of the satanic cult of Pasadena, California.
Right.
Fucked L. Ron Hubbard.
They had a moon child.
Making a moon child.
And this is why we can't have nice things today.
Okay.
Oh boy.
But Jack Parsons was possessed with extraordinary ideas that sought far loftier heights than mere space rocket designs.
Well, I'm trying to figure out the whole connection, because this is what the whole documentary is about, the connection between Parsons and the Jet Propulsion Lab and, you know, NASA and, like, the occult, obviously. So did you get a sense of, like, sort of where that really came into play? Because it was tough to figure out.
It was real loose for most of the documentary. But at the end, they came in and kind of were, there was a section that was a little more specific. One of my favorite, there was some real good stuff at the end, actually. Well, the weak, dumb thing was NASA means to lift up to heaven, but like fucking, of course you'll name something that because you're going into space. But where was the other thing? Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, no, this gets real deep. Here's what I have written down in all caps. What ADF semicolon LASKDJFASD Buzz Aldrin was doing a Masonic ritual while Armstrong was on the fucking moon?
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
In 1969, assuming the Apollo 11 astronauts actually landed on the moon, while Neil Armstrong hopped about on his moonwalk, 32nd degree Freemason astronaut Buzz Aldrin was performing a solemn Masonic ritual to honor Isis inside the lunar module. His Masonic flag, which accompanied him to the moon and back, is now an honored relic on display at the Scottish Rite Freemason Temple in Washington, D.C.
And then they also talk about how there's some doctor, an Egyptian doctor, who was supposed to be just a security supervisor, but then got all these, like, promotions and became the guy who chose the landing site on the moon.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing with all this. You know, Buzz Aldrin, this other guy, they keep coming back to this idea of, well, they were Freemasons, and, you know, so they're associated with NASA and they're associated with the cult. I believe that some of this is probably true in the sense that Buzz Aldrin was probably a member of the Freemasons, right?
Sure.
But a lot of people were, like, fucking plumbers and carpenters and shit were, and still are.
Yeah. My grandfather was a part of the Freemasons.
It's not, like, that uncommon, really, it doesn't seem to me.
Well, but, Paul, here's what we're missing. Apparently, what NASA's goal potentially is to go up into space and steal something called material prima from heaven, from literal heaven.
Yes.
Which is some sort of, I don't know, fucking, I didn't catch what it was, but something called material prima. And so they're trying to steal it from heaven. And this Egyptian doctor, whose father was an Egyptologist focused on religion, was able to tell NASA where Because they wanted to go to the moon, and so they could and are currently literally accessing the home of Osiris. The actual home of the Egyptian god Osiris is on the fucking moon.
The space agency appears to have been nothing less than a massive technological effort to validate their hermetic visions of literally accessing the home of Osiris on the surface of the moon and beyond, to which they and they alone deserved sole access.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
I don't know why I said it in that voice. I 100% think it makes sense.
Like space-time is sort of all made of like the same material, like what alchemists used to call the ether, right? And so they're trying to like get more knowledge about the material that is time and space is made up of or something like that. And so that's why they are going up to the moon to like figure all this shit out.
The very fabric of time and space. And it is this key fragment of lost esoteric technologies, their hermetic secret of materia prima, that has been preserved by ancient priesthoods and after many centuries passed on as the occult alchemy or practical magic still utilized by modern secret societies today. Common occult symbols variously represent materia prima, or the unseen hyperdimensional physics that drives our physical reality.
So much of this, like, there's no cohesion to it. It's just like, I mean, one of my notes right here is Nazis, Freemasons, Atlantis. Like, they go into fucking Atlantis at some point.
Yeah, well, Atlantis supposedly is under Antarctica.
Was this subtle evidence of a competition between German and American secret societies to rediscover Atlantis under the South Polar ice?
Here's something that confused me. The Nazis apparently were using Kabbalah, which is apparently a series of Hebrew magic books, which to me seems like that's counterintuitive for the Nazis' MO to do anything with the Hebrews.
Yeah.
But there's a whole section of that in this thing. I don't know. Fuck, dude. There's so much.
It's all over the place.
It's all over. It's hard to, you can sprinkle in. It's just a lot of conspiracy theory stuff.
I wanted to mention, you know, we've been talking a little bit about alien graves because that's certainly a large component of this sort of communicating with sort of interdimensional beings. And I don't know if you noticed, but they mention the book Communion, and they showed some footage from the film Communion, which I absolutely love. And if you haven't seen it,
I haven't.
Oh, dude, Christopher Walken, you got to check it out. Me and Jay watched it years ago, and it was unbelievable.
If it's streaming, I might look and watch it tonight.
For sure.
Here's something I have pointed out. Well, I think we're just sprinkling in other weird shit we find now. We hit the main threads.
We did.
I really liked this excerpt here where he talked about how Hitler was jealous of Crowley for being the most evil man alive.
Yeah.
Poor little Hitler was not evil enough. Oh.
None of it really came across to me as evil. I mean, I guess kind of in a way. It depends on your perspective, but a lot of it was just sort of like trying to like challenge the sort of societal norms at the time.
Yeah, I think so. But I mean, sexual magic, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, I've read up on Crowley before and like watched documentaries on him and stuff like that before. So I had a little bit of knowledge of him going into it. Mm-hmm. And he just seemed like he was a weird dude.
Yeah, they kept showing one picture of him with like his hands on the side of his head and like some drawings on his face. And he just kind of looked like he was a member of the Three Stooges or like Abbott Costello. Like it was just a real silly picture.
Right. Like, I imagine they probably don't have too many photos of him since he was around a pretty long time ago.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
But the most confusing part of the entire movie to me, the entire documentary, I literally don't know why they did this. See if you caught it. I have written down in my notes here, why did I just see pictures of Katy Perry and Rihanna?
Yeah, didn't write it down because I couldn't move my hands. I was so confused.
what was that?
I don't know, because didn't it say like, but the age of Horus is going to be pre-created with a bunch of violence? And it was just like a minute of silent World War II in Vietnam footage.
Yeah, and then like a picture of Katy Perry on the cover of Vogue. I'm like, what?
Well, she's looking good, I guess. I don't know. Maybe Maybe Jim Nichols is just like, eh, she's a babe. Let's pop this in there.
Well, might as well.
Yeah, make a moon child with her.
Not the worst thing in the world.
The rift in between the spaces of the stars, created by the Amalantra working, opened a gateway through which Lam and other extra cosmic influences could enter the known universe, and more specifically, our Earth world reality. But according to occultists involved in such things, the portal has since widened, thanks in part to additional hermetic tinkering by Jack Parsons.
Paul, I got nothing. I have nothing, dude. I don't know. Is there anything else that really you want to pop out? Like Operation Paperclip, not psychic researchers, the SS being a secret society? Any of that string a bell?
the only thing that I got left in my notes that I was really happy that I learned tonight is that the Freemasons killed JFK. I didn't know that.
Oh, fuck, yes! And and why, Paul? Why did they kill JFK?
So he was not really a member of, like, any of the secret societies or anything. It seems like he was kind of an outsider from the Freemasons and NASA and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And help me out a little bit. He wasn't going along with the plan.
Well, no, apparently Kennedy was like, hey, let's work hand in hand with the Soviets on the space mission. And they said, fuck you, and killed him because of that.
From that point, the occult brotherhoods closed ranks against Kennedy. And faithful to their oaths of secrecy, the traitor was ritually sacrificed in the open-air Masonic temple, Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963.
Right, because they didn't want the secrets of what they knew to get to the Russians?
I guess. I don't know. It's like, all the things, like, Kennedy's trying to stop the Cold War, and they're like, fuck you, you're dead.
Whew.
Rating time.
Well, Paul, how about... I don't know if there's if we're gonna do any ratings for this kind of shit, but I'd like to propose a very simple black and white rating system for this.
Sure,
Paul, do you believe?
Wow, I absolutely believe because, like I said, what's going on in the world today, specifically with our president, it's starting to make a lot of sense to me right now.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, haha, this is such a silly thing I'm watching. But when you brought that up, that fucking sharp mind of yours, man. I think my rating is also, I believe.
Cool. So can you just do instead of the traditional rating, can you just do a graphic where it says for both of us that we believe?
Yes. Yeah, that's it.
Sweet. Hey, should we do a shout out really quick to one of our listeners?
Yeah, go for it.
We got a review from someone named JillHouse78. That's her username, I assume, anyway. And she says, these guys are hilarious. The back and forth between them is natural and organic, almost as if they are lifelong friends who always talked of having a radio show one day in which they talk about all the bad movies they've seen and humorously criticized. I don't know about lifelong, JillHouse78. I mean, I've known all you guys for about 2.5 years, but
something like that,
it's pretty good. Pretty good review right there.
That's very nice. I feel a little bit like we just sucked our own dicks while reading it on the air, but it feels good. It feels real good.
Well, the whole point is, if you leave us a review on iTunes or even a rating, we're going to say thank you, and we might even give you a shout out on the show. So
yeah.
Hit it up.
Because it feels good.
Mm.
All right, yeah, so let's wrap this up. I mean, listeners out there, I mean, check this fucking thing out.
For sure. Aeon
of Horus. It's on Amazon. It's on UFO TV. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. In fact, what we watched was actually a two-part series, all packed into one video on Amazon. So if you want to get into more, there's like another 45 minutes of this thing. But in terms of podcast-wise, we got more off-season content coming your way, more quick takes, more Diary of a B-Movie Maniac, that kind of stuff. Paul, what else we got?
Well, I'm really fortunate, you know, that I live in Los Angeles and I have the opportunity to chat with some interesting people out here involved with B-Movies. So we've been doing the interviews and we're going to be doing more of that. And we have a few more sort of surprises along the way for our off season that I think we'll not quite give away yet, just tease you a little bit, but plenty of good stuff coming up.
Oh, I'm excited. I can't wait to find out what they are. Well, Paul, let's fuck on off. How about that?
Sounds good. I'm going to go probably hop back on Amazon and watch more of these things.
Yeah, there's so much more. We might have to do, like, if you guys liked it, like, if you listeners out there liked it, let us know, because I think Paul and I would actually just like an excuse to watch more of this fucking garbage.
Absolutely.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydie? You can contact the gang on Facebook at B-Movie Mania. You can also drop them a line at bmoviemania.com. Reach out. Touch them. They are touching themselves. And they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on B-Movie Mania. Woohoo!